Praise the Lord. I know it's Wednesday night, but how about we give some praise to the Lord right now? Let's make some noise. Hallelujah to the Lord. Jesus, I love you, God. I praise you. I worship you. Hallelujah, Jesus. I've come to lift you on high, Lord God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. You happy to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I am happy to be here. I am thankful to be here. If you can remain standing, we're going to take an offering and all of that before we get into our lesson tonight. If the usher can go ahead and prepare. Hallelujah. Please keep in mind all that God is doing this weekend. We've got our chapter 6, verse 9. I'm assuming the youth class can go ahead and be dismissed as well. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. Have a great time. Let the Lord speak to you. And don't hurt anybody. Praise God. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 9. Praise God. Let's just see what the Lord's going to do tonight. It says, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar at night and unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall be he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar. And he shall put them beside the altar, and he shall put off his garments and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. Now, why would you take nasty, dirty ashes to a clean place? There's actually a reason for it. We're not going to cover it too much tonight, but it's because of it resembling God's forgiveness, how he has carried our sins far away. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm thankful he carried my sins far away. Verse 12, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. Everybody say every morning. And lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn therein the fat of the peace offerings. Now, I am going to break most of this down, so if you didn't catch it all this one read through, that's okay. Verse 13, this is truly the point, and I recognize today, I hope I don't just repeat myself, I do feel distinctly to preach this. I know I've talked about this before, but sometimes we just need a refresher. Verse 13, it says, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never, everybody say never, it shall never go out. It shall never go out. I want to preach to you tonight. I'm going to do a little bit of preaching, a little bit of teaching on just keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I wasn't supposed to teach tonight, but when I found out I needed to, instantly I felt an anointing come over me. I felt the Spirit of God. Now, I wasn't sure what I was supposed to preach. I prepared an entire lesson this morning at about 5 a.m. And then right when I got off of work, I was about to get in my car, and I felt the Holy Ghost come over me and place this into my heart. Hallelujah. So tonight I just want to preach. I believe the Lord has great purpose in this. I'm wondering if we could one more time just talk to the Lord and say, Jesus, I ask you to speak to me tonight. Let your spirit flow in my heart. Let your spirit flow in my mind, Lord God. Help me, Lord Jesus, tonight. Inspire me, Lord God. Set me in a better position, Lord, to serve you, Lord. And I pray, let that fire continually burn in my heart. I love you, Lord Jesus, and I thank you, Lord God. Oh. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise God, praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. I know everybody's probably so disappointed I'm not continuing in our end time study. Hallelujah. Maybe you are, maybe you aren't. I don't know. We may continue it another time, but I did not feel to continue it tonight. So we're going to go through this. Hallelujah. In this passage of Scripture, it's talking about the burnt offering that were to be done upon the brazen altar. The very first piece of furniture and equipment that you would walk into when you would enter the Old Testament tabernacle. That altar, the brazen altar, if you could put up that first slide, it represents a place of consecration, a place of sacrifice, a place upon which an offering is made. Hallelujah. It's a place that no doubt at that time you would bring your offering in order to find redemption of sin, but also to be a blessing to the Lord. It was a place of worship. It was a place where you would lose, but the kingdom of God would gain. Hallelujah. Praise God. Today in this lesson, I ask God that he would help us, inspire us to know or to be inspired to pray more, to live for God more consistently, to attend church more. All of those things require an altar. It requires a personal sacrifice. A commitment on our end that says, I'm going to do what may not be easy, convenient, or it may not bring immediate satisfaction or pleasure into my life. It is a sacrifice. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the burnt sacrifice on the altar was one of the most crucial sacrifices to be made. If you could throw up that next slide, we see several verses of Scripture describing the burnt offering, giving instructions on it. Verse 3 and 3 of Leviticus, chapter 3, verse 3. He shall offer the sacrifice of the peace offering on offering made by fire unto the Lord. Verse 5, and Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar, upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood. He talked about the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Leviticus 3:9, he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Leviticus 3:14, he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. I think it's obvious in the Old Testament that the sacrifices required the fire. And I'm here to tell you today, if we're going to do this right, we also need the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not enough today for us just to be willing to come to church. We need the fire at church. Hallelujah. It's not enough for us just to be willing to wake up early and pray. We need the fire every single morning we wake up early and we pray. Hallelujah. Praise God. I thank God for Wednesday night Bible study. But I'm going to tell you what, we need the fire in Wednesday night Bible study. Hallelujah. Whatever altar that we are laying ourselves on, we need the fire of the Holy Ghost there. We need the Spirit of God. Praise God. And it was so essential. And we could talk all day about the sacrifices. I'm not going to do that. I like to focus rather on the fire that is on that altar. So essential that they maintain the fire on the altar, because every one of these offerings required there to be a fire. And as we'll talk more about this, most of the facets and the equipment and the furniture of the tabernacle required the fire. Everything in the tabernacle required the fire in order for it to go the way it was supposed to go. Hallelujah. Oh, and this is in my notes. This wasn't what I prepared to say, but I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Church, we need the fire in every facet of the church. We need the Spirit of God during the altar call. We need it during the worship service. We need it during the offering time. We need it during the preaching, praise God. Hallelujah. We need the fire in every area of the church. We need the fire out here in Wednesday night Bible study, but we also need it in the youth class on Wednesday nights and in the Sunday school class on Sunday mornings. We need the power of the Holy Ghost to fall upon us and to consume every aspect of our church. Somebody shout amen. Praise God. But this fire, they were commanded, don't let it go out. At no point should you let the fire on the altar burn out. Why was it so essential that they let not the fire go out? Well, the number one reason is because of all the aspects of their sacrifice, the duties of the tabernacle. But the second reason why that fire specifically could not go out is because that fire came straight from God Himself. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 24, it explains this wonderful experience that they had. Says, and there came a fire out from before the Lord, and it consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw it, they shouted and they fell on their faces. It is believed that the fire upon that altar was that same fire which God caused to fall from heaven and consume the burnt offering and the fat. Hallelujah. Can you imagine such a gift from God? A fire that falls from heaven. It was meant to it was God's response to their willingness to sacrifice. Praise God. God's response to their willingness to give of their own possessions, their own materials and goods in order to honor and worship God. And God responds by sending fire from heaven. I don't know about you, but if I saw fire fall from heaven upon the altar, I think I too would maintain that altar the best I could. Hallelujah. I would not let that fire go out. I mean, the fire kindled by my own hand. That's a pretty cool thing. Hallelujah. They didn't have matches and you know, lighters and all that stuff back then. It's hard to start a fire. Praise the Lord. But they didn't need to do it. They already had a fire from God, from heaven, burning upon the altar. Hallelujah. Oh, but brothers and sisters, so do we, praise God. You don't have to come to church and try to get something going. We've already got the fire of the Holy Ghost right here in every service. Hallelujah, in your home. God's already poured it out upon you. This last Sunday, we celebrated the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They had gathered in sacrifice. They waited as a sacrifice until the Lord would respond and do what he said he was going to do, give them the promise. Oh, and he did that exact thing. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance, just like he did in the tabernacle, just like he did in Solomon's tabernacle, just like he did for Elijah upon Mount Carmel. He poured out his Spirit in a form of a fire, and he filled every person with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Hallelujah. Anybody else experienced the Holy Ghost today? You've experienced that fire speaking in tongues. Praise God. This is exactly the symbol in the Old Testament. Even to the point where John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me, whose shoes I'm unworthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise God. The Bible calls it a consuming fire. Praise God, just as it consumed the sacrifice on the altar. This is the symbolism, the fire of the Holy Ghost upon the altar. Oh, I thank God I've got the fire. I thank God HPPC has the fire today. I thank God that he poured it out. I still remember that day. I remember it because my parents didn't believe me. I remember it because it was a Wednesday night service, and I was praying, and all of a sudden I felt these goosebumps all over my body. No one was praying for me. I just was standing there worshiping God. And all of a sudden, I began to speak in a language that I did not know. It wasn't something that I pushed out. It was something that came over me by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And I knew at that moment that was God filling me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. It was like fire falling from heaven and consuming the sacrifice on the altar. I remember driving home and telling my parents, I got the Holy Ghost tonight. They said, Aaron, you got the Holy Ghost a couple months ago. I still, to this day, have no idea what they're talking about. I said, no, It didn't happen back then. I don't know what you're talking about. But tonight, I got the Holy Ghost. Tonight, I felt it come over me. Tonight, the sacrifice upon the altar was consumed by that fire. It wasn't anything I did. I just was a sacrifice on the altar. Today, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you've never experienced speaking in other tongues, all you've got to do is just lay upon that altar and just say, Jesus, I'm a sacrifice. I'm a willing vessel. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. But my lesson tonight is, even though God may have lit that fire, it is our responsibility to feed it. He may light that fire, but you and I are responsible to maintain the fire of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And I tell you what, just like in the old days, the Old Testament, this is a fire I don't want to ever go out. Praise God. It wasn't from me. Praise the Lord. If it was of me, then I wouldn't care as much. But this was a fire that came from heaven. Hallelujah. I will never let it go out. I can't ever let it die. I can't ever let it simmer out. Praise the Lord. I gotta keep it fed no matter what. I gotta keep it fed. In the Old Testament, the priestly duties to maintain the fire, they had specific duties. First, in the evening, they were to scoop out the ashes in the altar. They needed to remove that and prepare it. They would place a fatty sacrifice. This fatty sacrifice would then burn throughout the entire night. It would keep the fire burning no matter what. And then early in the morning, as soon as the daylight, the sun would begin to rise and the daylight would come out, they would go back out to that altar. They would add wood in there to fuel the fire that it would continue to burn. Praise God. I can just imagine the day after the Holy Ghost being poured out, or the fire being poured out, the fire falling. How exciting that must have been. You're looking, oh, look at it. It's dying a little bit. Everybody's gathered around it. I mean, this is miracle fire. Everybody's gathering around it. Oh, Dave, look. It's starting to flicker just a little bit. Make sure you go get something. Hurry up. Can't let it go out. Again, I'm just using my imagination. I don't have any scripture for this, but just thinking about all the gathering of priests. Let's say there's 30, 40 that next day. They're all watching it. Let's make sure this fire doesn't go out. They've all got wood and they're holding it. They've got a pile now collecting next to the altar just in case something happens. They got extra wood to throw on that altar to keep it burning. What about a week after? And that fire slowly began to die. Well, a week after, there may not be a whole 40, maybe it's down to 30 of those priests. And that big pile of wood that they collected, it's probably much smaller now. Why? Because as time goes on, the recollection, the amazement of that initial experience with the fire begins to fade in the hearts and minds of God's people. And unless we intentionally work to establish some systems and processes in our lives to maintain the fire, the passion will die away. And when the passion dies, so will the fire. Is this all right today? Praise God. Hallelujah. It's so essential today that we have that excitement. And listen, I hope you still remember when you were first saved. I hope you still remember the first time you got the Holy Ghost. There's a reason why the book of Revelation says we got to find our first love. It's because when it first happens, it's amazing. It is wonderful. It's something that's unexplainable. It's something that will carry you for many days. But hallelujah, at some point, as you continue day after day having to gather wood, having to shuffle ashes, having to kill sacrifices, having to place the fatty sacrifices on the altar, day after day after day, it loses its excitement. Hallelujah. It loses its splendor. But I'm here to tell you that fire is no less amazing today than it was when you first received it. That fire is no less amazing today than it was when he first poured it out. That fire is no less powerful and miraculous and amazing than that first day you received the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's the same fire. Praise God, brothers and sisters. It's the same flame inside of you as it was back then. It's the same fire. Keep the fire burning. Why don't you get excited about the fire again? Won't you remind yourself of the miracle again? Hallelujah. Just decide, I'm not going to let the fire burn out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. First Thessalonians 5:16, it says, rejoice evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks. Look at this, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you? Now, I think that can be specifically applied to in everything give thanks, but I think it can also be applied to pray without ceasing. And I think it can also be applied to rejoice evermore. And the whole reason is because this is the will of God. Verse 19, quench not the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Don't let the fire go out. Don't let the Spirit of God fail. Don't let it burn away. Keep it going. Oh, praise God. Oh, I pray as I continue on now 22 years since I recommitted my life to Christ. 22 years since I was all in. But I pray that I don't worship any less today than I did 22 years ago. And I pray I don't speak in tongues any less today than I did 22 years ago. I pray I still have that great faith that I had back 22 years ago. I pray that the Spirit's not been quenched, not even a little bit. Let me ask you, have you allowed the Spirit to quench? Let me just say it. It's not necessarily due to your own fault. It's not because you did anything to it. But without maintenance, it is going to happen. Just like the fire without maintenance will burn out. So what's the maintenance we've got to do? 1 Thessalonians 5, there could be many, many more things, but 1 Thessalonians 5 gives us three duties to maintain the fire of the Spirit. Everybody say three duties. Number one, the duty of continual prayer. I know what, and listen, I'll speak to myself. I'll speak to my own spirit. There's several times in Scripture where people had to speak to themselves. I'll speak to my own spirit because I've been struggling with this. I've been fighting it. I've been wanting it so bad. And every morning I wake up, 5 a.m., and I say, oh, God, I can't pray. Not until at least I get my cup of joe. I got to eat a good breakfast. Well, that takes me 30 minutes. I've eaten up all my prayer time. I'm to the point now where I wake up and I say, God, I don't have time to do those things. I got to get to prayer, but it's rough. I don't want to wake up before even the sun wakes up to go out there and gather wood. But you got to do it, because if you don't, the fire's going to go out. I don't want to have to, after a long day of work, go and put my suit on and go to church. But I got to go get those ashes out. I got to go put that sacrifice back on the altar, because I can't let the fire go out. We've got a duty to continually pray. Brothers and sisters, let me speak clearly. You've got to have a prayer life. And that means prayer time in your schedule outside of church. If all you do is pray in church, that's great. I hope you come to church a lot. Praise God. But you need to have a prayer life outside of church. I think it's important for every Christian to have some prayer every morning before work, before you start your day. I know that not everybody's morning people. I'm not a morning person, not by any means. But I know that if I don't do it then, I'm going to lack later on. I'm going to struggle even more later on. So I commit myself just to waking up a little bit early, 30 minutes, maybe an hour, before I gotta start getting ready so that I can pray. I can have some focused time in prayer with the Lord. I love, and this isn't part of my notes or my sermon, but Jesus asked the disciples, "Can you not pray with me 1 hour?" Hallelujah. I think sometimes we've grown to be rather lazy prayer warriors. Or we've lacked so much. It's nothing for us to sit down now for what, 3-hour movies we've got now? Sit down, watch 3-hour movies. We can't pray 10 minutes. I know I'm putting the pressure on. I'm just talking about what it's required to keep the fire burning. Hallelujah. We have a duty of continual prayer. We We've got a duty of continual rejoicing. Listen, I promise you, you add a little praise in your morning prayer, your day's going to go a whole lot different. Hallelujah. If you learn how to just start having a positive outlook, just start rejoicing. Hallelujah. If you add the duty of continual thankfulness, today I was nervous. I found out that three more people are my job. They've been on a firing spree. They fired the president of the company last week. I found out yesterday they fired three people who work closely with me. One of them I saw last Thursday. They helped us with our inventory. Fire gone. I heard today one of the big wigs were coming in. I thought, oh Lord Jesus, is this going to be my ticket out of here? Praise God. Praise the Lord. And I started to just, I could have let this fear overwhelm me, but I just said, you know what, God? Thy will be done. Hallelujah. Whatever you desire for me, let it be. I know it's not easy to rejoice when things are going difficult, but if you can just find a place of thankfulness, of positivity, of praise, I promise everything's going to be all right even when nothing is all right. Hallelujah. When you can just have a positive, praise-filled outlook, the Lord's going to make it all okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And ended up that guy, he just ended up coming in and actually giving my coworker a raise and giving him a greater opportunity and position. And you know what? A little thing inside me said, well, man, I didn't know that was going to be handing out. I wish I would have got that. Hallelujah. But then I said, you know what? No, I'm thankful for him. He's worked hard for that. Praise God he got an opportunity. Praise God he got an opportunity to have more sales, and he's a salesman, and he got more of an area and all those things, and I thank God for him. Again, I know it's not easy, but listen, this is how you keep the fire burning. Keep praying. Keep rejoicing. Keep being thankful. Hallelujah. Show that you can maintain a godly spirit and a positive outlook. That fire will never go out. It is believed that this fire was kept burning all the way from Moses' tabernacle until Solomon's temple, when God relit the fire by sending it from heaven again. That's in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 1. It says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Here's what I feel in the spirit. He's going to pour out the fire again. He's going to send the fire again. Hallelujah. I think it was Carmen that was asking me a few weeks ago what to do when you've lost your passion. This is what you do. You just keep it going until the fire falls again. Praise God. It may not be today. Maybe it'll be tomorrow. Maybe it'll be next Sunday. Maybe the Sunday after that. Hallelujah. But you just keep on putting wood in the fire, taking out the ashes, putting the fatty sacrifice on there. You just keep maintaining it until he sends the fire again. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And if you feel like it's been a while, why don't you go ahead and pray for it again? Worship until you get it again. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm here to tell you, I believe that you can every week have a move of God.
Praise God. I believe you can have a move of God every day in your prayer time. If you go into it with the mindset that says, God, I need your fire again. I need your fire again. I remember when I was a youth pastor, the young people would be absolutely on fire in the morning service. This was back in the day, you know, the ancient times when we used to have two services, one in the morning, one at night. They would be absolutely on fire, running the aisles, praying in the altar. I'd be like, this is it. The youth group has hit revival. This is the time when the youth group's going to explode. Hallelujah. This is the moment. And then we'd get back Sunday night, and I tell you, it's like somebody took a whole bucket of water and poured it out on the fire. They just sitting there. They're upset with each other. They're not listening. They're sitting in the back row. No offense, brother. They're sitting in the back row. They're not paying attention. They're not coming down to the altar. They've basically backslidden from Sunday morning to Sunday night. But listen, how many times have we backslidden from Sunday to Sunday? Sunday to Monday, Sunday to Wednesday. Just because we've not allowed ourselves to install good practices in our life that maintains the fire. So every single time we come back in the house of God, He's got to do a miraculous sending the fire down from heaven again. That's not God's will for you. He wants you to keep it going. Hallelujah. I feel this is of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Some of us cannot grow because we keep having to restart every Sunday. God says if you will take what I give you and you will maintain it, then you will find growth. You will find maturity. You will advance to that next level you're trying to go after. You will be able to pursue the great calling of God that He's given you. But it begins with this simple lesson. Maintain the move of God that He's already started in your life. Maintain it. I know sometimes it's boring. Can we be honest? Some church services aren't like Sunday morning where we're running the aisles and we're doing that. Sometimes it's a whole lot less. Sometimes Monday night we've got 3 people here instead of 15 or whatever. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's swinging from the chandeliers. Sometimes it's holding your eyelids open. Am I right? Hallelujah. Gathering wood is not always fun, and it's not always exciting. Praise God, but it is essential to keep the fire burning. Oh, somebody clap your hands to the Lord on that one. I want you to consider all that happened between Moses' tabernacle and Solomon's temple. They'd gone through all of the wilderness experiences. They'd gone through the time of the judges. They'd gone through Saul's reign and David's reign. I want you to think of every trial, every tribulation, every hardship, and yet every morning, I gotta gather wood. Every evening, I got to take out the ashes. I got to get the fatty sacrifice. Deuteronomy 8:2 says this of the wilderness experience. And I'm getting there. I'm almost done. It says, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Sometimes God lets us to go through dry seasons just to see if it's really in our heart. Just to see, do we really love him? Are we really solid in the doctrine? Are we really holding on to the commandments of God? Are we really committed to that fire, even when it stops burning so bright? And listen, brothers and sisters, when you go through trials, keep the fire burning. Bible tells us they went through wars. They fought for survival, yet they still gathered the wood. The Bible says specifically they endured snakes and scorpions, yet they still scooped out the ashes. The Bible said they walked through the wilderness and it was hot and dry, yet they still committed the sacrifice and put it on the altar. They went without food, but they still gathered wood. They endured plagues, but they still gathered wood. They had to experience rebellions, yet they still gathered wood. Hallelujah. From day to day to day, it didn't matter what was going on in the camp. They had to keep the fire burning. It doesn't matter what's going on in the camp. Keep the fire burning. It doesn't matter what's going on at your job. Keep the fire burning. It doesn't matter what goes on in your family. Keep the fire burning. It doesn't matter what goes on in your finances. Keep the fire burning. In the bad times, keep the fire burning. Listen, and this is just as important. In the good times, keep the fire burning. When you're blessed, keep the fire burning. When you've been given provisions, keep the fire burning. When you've got new relationships, keep the fire burning. When you bought a new house, keep the fire burning. The church is seeing revival. Keep the fire burning. And this is my final point, because when it matters, you're gonna need the fire. When it matters, you're gonna need the fire. And every aspect of your walk with God needs the fire. It all needs the fire. The fire was essential for every act in the tabernacle. The brazen altar would be useless without that fire. In order for them to enter into the holy place, they would have to wash themselves at the brazen laver. You know what they used in order to purify themselves in that water? The ashes from the sacrifice on the altar. That's what purified them. You don't know what that prayer meeting is doing. You may not even know what that 15 minutes every morning is purifying in your heart. But God sees it, and it's purifying you. You enter into the holy place. Yeah, you're going to eat. You're going to light the candlesticks. But all the while, you're going to have incense burning. Where you're going to get the fire for that from off the altar. Exodus chapter 30 and verse 7. Brother Victor, could you come here for a second? I'm sorry, you look like you're tired. I got a task for you. Exodus chapter 30 and verse 7. Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. When Aaron lighteth the lamps at evening, he shall burn incense upon it. A perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. In order to have the incense, the presence, and the glory of God, there's got to be a fire. And then finally, the Day of Atonement. The high priest could not enter into the most holy place without the fire. Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 12. Says, and he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. Thank you. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. When the high priest was going in to intercede on the behalf of the church and the people of Israel, he needed to have an altar. He had to get a fire. And the only way he could have had a fire, he had to have incense. The only way he could have incense was with a fire. And the only way he had a fire is if he maintained it every day. When it's time for church, I pray we bring a fire with us. Our personal devotion will fuel congregational worship. Bring the fire with you. Don't wait until church to pray. Don't wait until church to get a hold of God. Bring the fire with you. Without the fire burning, the high priest could not enter into that veil. When it matters, you're going to need that fire. Jesus said what? This cometh by prayer and fasting. They didn't have time at that moment to pray and fast in order to cast out that woman, the spirit, the evil spirit inside that little girl. So he wasn't talking about in that moment, right then and there. He's talking about a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. Listen, when it's time and your coworker gets a bad diagnosis, I pray that we already have fire on the altar so that we can come to them and lay our hands on them and proclaim the name of Jesus over them, that they may be healed in Jesus' name.
when your child falls out of that tree and gets a concussion, I pray we've already got a fire burning. We don't have to go and try to kindle something in order to know that we've received the Spirit and the fire's burning. We already know because we were in the prayer room that morning and we felt the Spirit of God. I just got one story and then I'm done. This was directly after Korah and the rebellion of Korah. The earth swallowed them. The people of Israel began once again to murmur against Moses and Aaron. And the Bible says that God sent a plague. And that plague was rapidly spreading, killing every person that it came across. The Bible speaks of it as if it's happening in a matter of seconds. You can see as that plague is going from person to person and they're falling over dead. In that moment, what are they going to do? They don't have time in that moment to go start a fire. But Moses tells Aaron, run, go to the altar, take your censer, place the coals from off the altar into your censer, and run after the plague. The Bible says that Aaron runs to the altar. Can you imagine if now at that moment he had to get sticks together? He had to try to generate some amount of spark in order to capture some flame. He didn't need to do that. Because that morning somebody already gathered wood. Somebody already fed the fire. All he had to do was grab a couple of the coals and place it inside. And the Bible says that he ran toward the plague. He stood in front of the plague. And here's what the Bible says. He raised up that censer, and Aaron stood between the dead and the living. And the only thing standing between it was the fire from off the altar that they had kept burning. Listen, I know that prayer meeting at 5 a.m. in the morning isn't all that attractive. It's not fun. But that prayer meeting might be the one thing that stands between your family and hell. That prayer meeting might be the only thing that stands between your coworker and some disease, your neighbor and salvation, because you took time out of your busy schedule to put fire in the altar. How about we stand today? Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I think tonight it'd be all right for us to go in and get some of those old ashes out and say, I'm not going to live off of last week's breakthrough. I'm not going to live off of Sunday's service. God, help me to get my fire going again tonight. This altar's open. Hallelujah. Could we find